Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne, and together we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actionable takeaways you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing veteran, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level. Hello, Marianne.
It's great to be back.
It is good to be back. And today we're talking about Marketing Hub, but more specifically, Marketing Hub trends that we saw, that we see happening right now with 2025 and just discussing that. So it's a really timely conversation to have around, Marketing Hub and marketing in general through HubSpot.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. So I think first and foremost, we should just like kind of brief everyone on what Marketing Hub is, if you don't know already. Marketing Hub is really the marketing features inside of HubSpot. So there's now Content Hub, which covers more of the content features like blogging, podcasting, building a website. Marketing Hub is what you would think of as like traditional marketing features. So email marketing or social media marketing, or, you know, ads. If you run ads through HubSpot, it's in line with those tools. So that's what we're going to be talking through today. And just generally the trends that we see happening right now.
And I think it's important to note that we're mostly going to be talking about Marketing Hub Professional. So there are lots of different tiers and levels that you can have with HubSpot's, portals and hubs. And most businesses that we work with use Marketing Hub Professional or above, which above would be the enterprise level. And there are some awesome features that you can get with Marketing Hub Starter, but they just kind of wet your whistle for the rest of all the good stuff that is offered through Marketing Hub Professional.
Yes, great call out. Yeah, so marketing professional and higher is generally what we're talking about here. Although, yeah, exactly what you just said. There are, you know, you can get the Marketing Hub Starter and it's just very minimal abilities. And then if you wanted to do more of building workflows or more of sending emails, you would just upgrade from there.
Depends on your size business. Yeah. And then also I think another good call out for this is HubSpot's grown and changed over the years, of course. But really Marketing Hub was how it started. Now the CRM is really the focus and the core of HubSpot. But Marketing Hub was really what it was created around. It used to be the core and the hub, all of the different marketing tools. So they have grown, they have changed, they've been improved upon. It's really unrecognizable to when they started, but it is kind of cool to think about that. Really, that was the reason for HubSpot, you know, a decade ago. Or more.
Yeah. I mean, when we first, you know, became a partner, Marketing Hub was, I don't even think they had a CRM yet. And then it was, you know, many years of convincing people that it's not, HubSpot's not just a marketing tool, it's more. So yeah, totally. Okay. So very first call out thing I want to discuss around Marketing Hub, and then you feel free to throw out some too, is marketing automation. This is, I think, one of the main reasons people get a tool like HubSpot is to have automated marketing. So, you know, that could look like a workflow that once someone takes an action on your website, they're going to get a lot of other emails from you over a period of time. It could be like a blog subscriber automation email where they subscribe to your blog and get regular emails from you. But marketing automation in general, I believe has been probably one of the most effective tools that people, you know, use within HubSpot and continues to be in 2025.
Yeah, taking out the manpower work of it. And because it's connected to the CRM, making it highly personal, being able to use properties from the CRM beyond just first name and last name, but company size and location to help personalize that content that is automated through automation.
Yes. Yes, very, very true. Yeah, that's the beauty of having your marketing tool talk to your CRM. It allows you to have that database behind the emails you're sending, for sure.
And then I'll also just say, I think lead scoring is another huge focus that HubSpot's recently really improved. So I would say, you know, I guess going back to what to do in 2025, what to take advantage of, I would say lead scoring. They've changed the way they're doing it within HubSpot. And now that it's more on a property level, it's a lot easier to use. And it's a lot more intricate and meticulous for allowing not just buckets, but really a wider scale of levels for lead scoring.
Yeah. So if you don't know what lead scoring is, or the idea behind it, basically if someone comes to your website and takes an action on your website, so they become a lead, you could actually set up triggers within HubSpot to score that person based on actions they did or didn't take. So you could say if they filled out this form just to download my ebook, I want to add 5 points to their score. Mm-hmm. But if they contact sales, I want to shoot them up to 100. They're ready to talk to sales. So you can have, or, you know, if they've visited your website 5 times in the last 2 weeks or whatever, you can give criteria to bump up or down their score accordingly.
Right.
Yeah, really cool marketing automation right there. And then you could have a workflow trigger when a score is at this level, we want now emails to send. It really does all build on top of each other really well. Okay, I'll throw out another one. So another big, you know, feature that is well used in HubSpot is the content creation, like email marketing and then the managing of it. You can actually create emails, have templates, all of the actual promotional items. You can create within HubSpot, build lists from your CRM to gather people to send to, and then actually send out those emails and then analyze them. You can manage that all directly in HubSpot and see all of that in, you know, in that email itself, how many people are clicking, how many people are opening your email versus clicking, where are they clicking, what URLs are they looking at, you know, having the specific data there.
Right. And then also with social media, like how are they active on social media? What have they clicked on your social media profile, or someone who works with you's social media profile? Where did it take them to the website? How long did they spend on the website? But I do think the social media analytics are amazing, but also scheduling tools. And then AI being a part of that now. I mean, in 2025, if you're not taking advantage of AI scheduling, creating and scheduling your content for you, and you don't have to have Content Hub to do that. That's all in the Marketing Hub in HubSpot.
Well, yeah, Marketing Hub has the social media agent. Social media,
And social media AI.
Yes.
AI agent.
So cool. Yeah. You can give it your target persona and your, you know, tone and voice and your, you know, brand guidelines and everything, and have the agent actually create your social media calendar for you and suggest topics that are relevant and timely for your audience. And you can just, with a click of a button, schedule that to post on one or many of your social media channels. It's very cool what the HubSpot agents are doing, Breeze AI. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it. Okay, so I'll throw out another one then around analytics and reporting. So I think it's one thing to just do marketing, but it's another thing to use the analytics and the results from your marketing to inform, and create better decisions in the future. I mean, I think that if you're just doing marketing for marketing's sake, you're not a marketer. You're probably not listening to this podcast. So I think we're all probably on the same page with that. But I do think and know that HubSpot has some of the best reporting out there in terms of all their data and everything that you can see within HubSpot, but specifically marketing. You can get really granular with the information that you're seeing and on a contact record level. So you could see this contact has read these emails, they've clicked on the social post. Like, you could really learn from specific people within the CRM. But yeah, I just think reporting in general is a huge thing that people are using this year, that we're seeing all the time.
But I think that I feel like HubSpot's reporting can get overwhelming because there's so many reports that they have pre-built. You can create your own reports. What do you put on your dashboard? But some advice I like to give clients is make a list of 10 questions that you want to know how many deals do my salespeople have open this week? How many new prospects have we met with this week? Whatever it is, as a sales manager, maybe, but that would be a sales manager, but marketing the same, right? Make a list of 10 questions you want answered. And then from those questions, either find the report that's already created or create a custom report to answer that question and then put them all on a dashboard. Because sometimes people just get a little crazy. I love starting with a new client and seeing what kind of like reports they have set up or dashboards being non-existent, but millions of reports that they've never put on dashboards, or just, you don't want to make it too hard, right? Write down your questions, figure out what reports answer those questions and put them on a dashboard so you can open HubSpot to the same dashboard every day and see the answers to those questions.
I love that. It's such good actionable advice. I think that's very helpful. Yeah. Leave this podcast and go create a list of the questions you have and build reports, because HubSpot has that ability. And they make it very, it can feel overwhelming for sure, but also they make it very easy. It's very intuitive to build the reports you need.
But you get lost in like what you're building it for once you start building it. Like, right. Do you remember, Emily? I feel like years ago when we were just like still learning HubSpot, I'm talking 5 years ago, we meet regularly with our partners at HubSpot, and they would teach us about custom report building. And that was a huge growing segment. And they taught us the question thing. Don't forget what you're trying to build this report for. Because once you get in there as marketers, we get excited over analytics. And so it's easy to just build tons of reports that aren't answering the questions that you need. And then you have too many reports and then none of them serve you. So I vividly remember it.
I do too. I know the exact call you're talking about. Like, why are we building this report?
It still works for me. I still think about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's very true. And I also think creating reports that tie marketing and sales together are really helpful and something that HubSpot allows. I mean, that's the beauty of HubSpot, is you have both sales and marketing analytics all in one place. So building reports that tie that together. So showing leads that come in and then deals that are open because of that lead. And then if they closed, how much did they close for? What was the revenue? So you can actually tie revenue to marketing efforts, which I know marketing is, you know, it's hard to see ROI sometimes.
Service too. If you're doing a lot of marketing for client relations and client communications, the Service Hub integration also enhances their customer service and really can improve customer satisfaction. And you can build those reports in with your marketing. So Sales Hub, Service Hub, all being integrated beside Marketing Hub really helps.
Yeah, totally. When it comes to Sales Hub, you know, you could build reports or, you know, think through marketing efforts based on the sequences that sellers are enrolling their prospects in. You could even have you could see, you know, sequence enrollments, clicks and opens on the sequences in, you know, relation to the marketing opens and clicks from that same person. Like, is marketing or is sales impacting more? Are they working together? You know, thinking through those types of analytics. Yeah, with sales and service integration. And then obviously AI powered features in general, you know, lead scoring, personalized content, automatic tasks, things like that for both marketing and sales are, you know, available and I think very helpful within HubSpot.
Our team is definitely working on learning more about them every single day. They're growing and changing how you can use them. We're all still figuring out. So,
and I think we would be remiss not to share that, you know, marketing and sales and HubSpot in general only works if your HubSpot is clean.
Data in, data out.
I mean, you sending a marketing email or the most beautiful, you know, marketing workflow, lead nurture sequence ever in the whole world to people that are current customers is not, I mean, you have to have everyone updated, life cycle stages correctly. We need to know. I mean, Marianne at the top of the call was talking about bringing in personalization tokens, you know, having that personalized outreach. If you don't have information in your CRM on these people, on their industry, on, you know, their company name, it's not going to pull in the right information into these emails. So, you know, that's a really big key thing here, is making sure data hygiene, your contacts are up to date, you don't have duplicates, things like that, because that can be easily It can get out of control very easily, and it can be easily put at the bottom of a priority list.
And that's true for everything. So don't be shaking your head at HubSpot listeners thinking that's on them, because that's true about everything. If you were using the Excel sheet, it would be the same thing for your CRM. You'd have to type in the right information to be able to have the right information. So yeah.
Yeah.
We have that conversation too much though, don't we, Emily?
We talk about it all the time. And, you know, in regard to using HubSpot, you know, thinking through data hygiene, cleanliness, all of that. I mean, regularly reviewing campaigns, setting to-do lists for yourself, or setting reminders in your to-do list for yourself to look at the campaigns tool in HubSpot, look at these marketing emails, look through these reports you're building, and really think through the strategy and understanding like, okay, HubSpot's very powerful. It's giving me a lot of really good information, but what am I learning from that? Like, what can I gather here that I can use actionably to perform better in my next effort? And I think that that's, you know, obviously a key reminder when thinking about the investment you're spending in HubSpot. You use this stuff to get better.
Also, I think reviewing and optimizing things like campaigns or anything in HubSpot kind of goes back to the data hygiene and cleaning as well. I had a client recently who had a workflow go off that sent an email that was from like 2 years ago to a current customer because they qualified what the trigger was in that workflow. So going back and just turning off workflows that aren't applicable or are on past campaigns,
yeah,
it really helps with hygiene as well as analytics and reviewing and optimizing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's everyone's worst nightmare is an email being sent to the wrong person. So yeah. Yeah, review, optimize, clean. And then one more thing I'll just mention is, you know, if you are working with an agency, use the agency, right? Like use them to help you, use them to do some of this stuff for you, have some practices in place with them. But if you're not using an agency, lean on HubSpot support as much as you can. I mean,
I was going to say work with us. If you're not,
I mean, obviously work with Lead G2 if you're not working with an agency. However, if you're not going to work with an agency at all, if you've decided you have internal resources, you can do it alone, make sure that you understand and are leveraging all of the stuff you're paying for with HubSpot. They have a really great academy where you can learn, you can have video courses and lessons in order to learn and grow your skills. But you can also call support and ask for help if you're building a report and you're stuck on it. They can help you think it through and build it. Obviously, it's much more DIY than an agency actually doing it for you. But you can use that. Like you have that as a resource.
But if you need further guidance, don't have the motivation to learn yourself, definitely lean on a HubSpot implementation partner, Diamond Partner, Lead G2.
Yes.
Yes.
We are awesome.
But it's a competitive market out there, and HubSpot's Marketing Professional Hub really does capture marketing automation beautifully. They really founded their entire platform around that, and it's very well done.
Absolutely. It's very well done. And I'll just invite if you're listening to this and you know, you all these tools sound cool, you know, you pay for them. You've maybe used some of the HubSpot resources, like you've watched some of the videos or you've called them, maybe you haven't yet. You could just reach out to me or Marianne too. Our emails and our information will be at the end of this. And you can absolutely reach out to us and just ask some questions and we'll respond. I mean, even if you are not a client of ours, we will happily help you, help point you in the right direction, or share how we might be able to help you. But just so you know, we're here too.
I love it. Okay, should we dive into our Q&A? I'll read the first one.
Okay.
For years now, all everyone seems to want to talk about is ABM. What are the pros and cons of ABM in your eyes? What instances would you recommend ABM? And are there reasons why you would ever suggest not adapting ABM? That was a good question.
Yeah.
Three questions
all in one. It's a good question. I mean, I can take a stab at answering it a little bit and then you help me out, Marianne. But ABM is definitely on the rise in terms of like trendy topics, trendy marketing, kind of how like inbound marketing or like I feel like marketing terms and ways people do marketing they ebb and they flow. ABM is definitely here and it's performing well for people. And so what ABM really is it's focusing marketing efforts on an account level. So instead of sending out a promo email to your entire SQL list or maybe people in a certain industry or whatever, you're actually sending tailored messages to a business about their business. So it's a very intentional, you come up with a target list, you have a very specific group of people you're going after, you're pouring a lot of time and attention and resources into them. So it's a bit more of a, not like a cumbersome.
It's an entire strategy. It's mm-hmm. not just what about a campaign? What about social media? ABM is an entire marketing strategy that uses all parts of marketing promotion to promote it. So it's a strategy you would take for how you're planning your marketing. Right. When I think of ABM, I think of someone who is very niche industry focused. We have a client whose entire marketing strategy is an ABM focus, and it's very, very specific niche, catering to a really limited number of highly targeted industries. But I mean, it can be, yeah, like you said, highly targeted target personas or high ticket sales or just like a need for a deeper customer connection. Mm-hmm.
It's an entire strategy. You would have ads that are only only this company is seeing these ads, or these emails have videos of you talking to the CEO of the company. You build a landing page that you're sending them that has their logo on it. Like, it's very tailored to the it's less mass segmented marketing where you're thinking through like, okay, this is all of the trucking businesses we have. Let's send them an email. And much more like, okay, what does this very specific business want and need? And let's go after that.
And go after all the decision makers in it mm-hmm. specifically. And one of the questions from that Q&A was, are there reasons you would not suggest adopting ABM? And I would say a lot. I think that you have to have the bandwidth and manpower to execute ABM well. It is intricate. And so it's mm-hmm. not something you can kind of do on the side. I mean, I suppose it is something you can do on the side, but I would say making sure that you have the hours to dedicate. ABM's a bigger commitment than other things, I kind of mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an entire strategy and your target list and your audience is much smaller. You're not having lead magnets bringing people into you. You're focusing on those who you feel are a good fit and going after them. So it's
quality over quantity.
Quality over quantity, for sure. Yeah. Which pays off equally, but just, depends on your persistence, your patience,
and your contacts. Like, if you have a good list of who you're going after, you should not use ABM.
Yeah. Great question. Okay. The other question we got is, last season, y'all talked about mapping content to the buyer's journey. I had a question tailoring content to different buyers' personas. How specific should content be for buyer personas within the same journey stage?
Okay. I would say very specific. I would go through and map the buyer's journey for each target persona separately and then see where there is crossover or similarities rather than trying to do one and then breaking out the target personas in it. Mm-hmm. Because your target persona is who you're speaking to. The buyer's journey is when you're speaking to them, but who mm-hmm. you're speaking to matters most, I would say. So making sure that you are speaking to those target personas differently. Now, of course, it's going to matter how different those target personas are. And I imagine there is probably some crossover, but I would map those each separately and then see where it is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I think they're two different things. So there's the buyer persona, and then there's also the journey stage. And if you're finding that you're getting caught up in this situation quite a bit, maybe try to expand your buyer's persona a bit further. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's a little bit too in the weeds, because really, I mean, the you shouldn't have that many buyer personas, like maybe 5 or 6. Yeah,
I was going to say 5, 3 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're getting in the weeds too much on, you know, a very specific industry or a very specific, like, you might want to zoom out just a little bit for more just like general content that someone might be downloading. And I would say the reverse is true. If you created an ebook or something that's very industry specific and someone from that industry downloads it, you'd want to have a very specific, you know, conversation with them and lead nurturing, and everything about your conversation would be really tailored to them. But if it's just general, I would say try to zoom out a little on the buyer persona. Okay. That's our show. Look at that. Thank you for listening. Feel free to connect with us. All of our information will be in the show notes. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. We do have like a voicemail type of service you'll find in the show notes where you can leave us a quick voicemail, which is how we get a lot of our questions like this. And we might answer them on the next call. I mean, on the next podcast. So feel free to submit that.
We feel like we're on a call with each other.
I know.
We talk about on calls.
I know. It's funny. And it was great talking to you, Marianne. We look forward to seeing you on
you
the next
too.
Episode.
Bye, guys. Bye. See you next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.